that was one of the fortunate aspects of my life in golf, is that Butch is a dear mm-hmm. friend of my grandfather. So I've got somewhere in this office over here, I've got little binders of, you know, 11-year-old Charlie at the Butch Harmon School of Golf, getting you swing side by side with Prime
cool
Tiger.
Place to be.
Oh, cool. Such a cool place to be.
Coop, how about a little staycay?
You know, I'm pretty well convinced that staycay and some Dew Sweeper TV is all you need to play better golf.
Follow me and Coop. Get you a staycay, come over to Dew Sweeper TV, and let's get your game better.
Get better.
All right, joining me here on the tour, coach, my good friend. I've had the opportunity to give him a couple lessons, had the opportunity to see him at his first PGA show, and also had the opportunity to hang out with him and Smiley Kaufman on the Smiley Show, the podcast, and all of that great stuff. Charlie Hume. Charlie, how the heck are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, Tony, and I'm just thrilled to be joined by what I just learned this last week at the PGA show, is a veteran radio host. There are lots of stories about your prowess as local in local radio. And so, you know, for me as a guy
who's been production for Chip Holcomb.
I'm just, I've got all the lessons from you on the golf side. You know, we're doing all the golf knowledge stuff, but we're a couple media veterans here, Tony. It's great to be amongst good company.
Hey, I'm gonna give you a free tip that would help you during your snow day, and I know it would help you with your kids. You need to drink one of these staycays that I've just gotten in, and this one is a transfusion, Charlie. Unbelievable. It is the official Delta 9 cocktail of the Dew Sweepers and the Tour Coach, and I couldn't think of a better way. I know you got bedtime coming up later. I think if you took you a little staycay, it would just ease you right into bedtime.
I've heard you gave me a good report on these things, and I think next time I see you, we're gonna have to cap off a lesson with one, because once we make it through the gauntlet of bedtime with the two kids, it's always nice to unwind, and so I'm considering me intrigued. I've gotten the teaser from you, and I need to try the real thing.
We're going to do that. We'll do that maybe mid, maybe late lesson, but we definitely. well, let's start.
The swing might get a little better.
This staycay is swing lube. So let me just say this. Let's start with the PGA show. I wanted to bring you on because you're who the majority of the people listening to us are, right? It's like, Smiley and I, you know, we've all talked about this. Like, and going back to my radio days, like, I'll never forget, like, you know, we're not talking to the tour players. We're talking to recreational golfers that love golf. And whether they're 20 handicappers, 15 handicappers, or 10 handicappers, or the guy that's the best player at the club that wants to be a great amateur player, whatever it is, everybody's trying to get better. You got the opportunity to go to your first PGA show. I want to start there. What did you learn? What was your overall take? What did you learn? And what did you take away from it as a recreation, as an aspiring golfer? You've got the golf bug. You're trying to get better. And if I don't hold you back, we're going to get there.
Well, you know, we just talked about this in the show last night, Smiley and I did, to kind of close the thing out. And it's definitely like drinking water from a fire hose. I mean, we walked in there the first day. We were trying to go find a place to set up for our interview with Cam Young. And it like the woman I talked to, she's like, okay, you're going to go over to this place called The Retreat. I'm like, okay, this can't be this far, right? We walk in the side door. It was no joke, a 15-minute walk from where we entered in the convention center over to The Retreat. Yeah. Like this place just keeps going and keeps going and keeps going. I think there's so much that's cool about that place, even if there's, you know, you could go 5 years in a row and still just scratch the surface of all that's available there. But what I think is the coolest part about someone who, you know, I've been around, I've loved golf my entire life. I've had the great fortune of growing up in a golf family. You know, I never played competitively, but, you know, mid to low single digits handicapper, like, you know, can play competitively to a certain degree, but also am looking at people like you and Smiley and others and thinking, like, how can I get better at this game? Is that there are, to your point, so many people like me who are just trying to find their way into this game via so many different business paths, and just the passion that each one of those brands and entrepreneurs has for the game of golf. It's just, it just reminds you of like how lucky we are to be doing what we're doing. to call golf your work in a lot of ways, of just something that you love, that you are obsessed with, that doesn't feel like you're punching the clock every single day. You're showing up and you're like, man, and there's a lot of people here that are just like me that are trying to break into, you know, the launch monitor market or the club making market or the apparel market, whatever it is. Everyone is there with the same level of passion and desire to like make their impact on the game of golf. That is such a cool thing, I think.
I agree. And you know, it's funny you talk about my wife, a couple of my players, everybody's been on my ass lately to slow down a little, right? So last week I flew to Palm Springs, went to Palm Springs, was with Jackson and Emilio, and then flew Wednesday morning, got up at 4, flew to Orlando, had dinner with Morgan and the whole squad, and then went to the PGA show Thursday, left after lunch, after I saw you, drove home back to Mobile, and then I taught all day Friday. And they're like, slow down. And I know that that's a crazy schedule, and that's above normal. But I still wake up excited to coach and teach people. And like, I was excited when you came, and we've got, it's plenty of it out on our YouTube and social channels. And in fact, we re-put out another today, another one of the shorts. And like, I love doing that. And to me, the interesting thing is, as this content thing's come along, and you and I've talked so much about it, it's actually even energized me a little more to kind of try to be more creative and to try to see, like, could we reach more people? Right? Like, and as you know from all our stories, and some of them are ridiculous, but like, can we reach more people and get more people to come down and hang out with us like you did? And not only get better, but have some fun doing it.
100%. And I mean, and your story that you're kind enough to share on the store, I think on the show, I'm sorry, the Smiley Show, is so great of just like, your representation of the same set of people that are there at the PGA show, where you're a guy that's like living off of free cheeseburgers and Coors Light, trying to keep the power on, you know, getting your car repossessed, yeah, but having this love for the game and this grind for staying in the game, that all of a sudden now you're one of the greatest instructors in the United States. You have tour pros, you have all these guys on your staff where like, if you put in the blood, sweat, and tears to this game, you will get rewarded if you keep kind of keep at it. I mean, that's the story of the game of golf itself, you know, let alone working in and around it, right? And so I think I think on the content side, it is such a unique opportunity for all of us to take, you know, and I think this is really anyone in any form of business. It's like you're reaching so many different people through these social platforms, and it's like, you can be good at the core product of the thing you're doing. You can be good at teaching golf, playing golf, whatever. But then there's this added layer of, how do I tell that story in short form on all these, you know, or long form if it's like a full TV show like we do for the Golf Channel or on a podcast or YouTube. How do I tell the story in a bunch of different ways to get people interested in what I'm doing and bring more people into this thing? And so to your point on the content, like I just think it is a really fun and cool challenge of, you know, you there, think about how many people, Tony, are out there searching for tips on YouTube or on Instagram or on TikTok. They're just dying to fix that thing in their swing. And I mean, I sit behind the screen every week while Smiley talks to tour pros, and whatever I hear from Ludwig Oberg, you know, or Cam Young is like, that's the next thing I'm trying to kind of figure out in my game, you know? And it's like, that's a really cool thing. There are a ton of people like me. How do we keep telling those stories so people out there stay hooked on the game of golf or come to see you, you know, and do stuff as part of the Dew Sweeper Academy, things like that? That's such a cool opportunity.
So that's my next thing I wanted to talk to you about, because I know, so we joked about the early radio days, but my goal in the early radio days was, I never thought it would turn into anything, right? Like, I was in a little, on the panhandle of Florida in Fort Walton Beach. But two, as I started getting the opportunity to bring on all these great teachers, and I used it for me selfishly as an opportunity to sit there and have, you know, the Jim McClains and the, mm-hmm. you know, Chuck Cooks and all these people sit down for 15, 20 minutes and pick their brain. And I was able to learn. And I mean, yeah, that's how I always looked at it. And then I also look at my career and I've learned more from the players and I learned so much about short game from my years with Smiley, especially when he was out on tour. And I learned a bunch from Lucas and from different guys. Curious about you. Like, so here you are, this guy that's crazy about the game of golf, loves it, really getting into wanting to play better. What all have you learned from the sitting in that seat with Smiley? First of all, what are some of the things you've learned from Smiley? He's got, I give him a lot of shit a lot of the time, right? We joke, right? But truly has a great mind for golf and how to, and the way he thinks about the game and is creative and passionate about it. I'm just curious, what have you gleaned from sitting next to him and some of those guests?
We could do a whole show on just that. I mean, it's the thing I love the most about the specific access to Smiley's brain is it's literally like having a searchable encyclopedia in front of you where, and that is the entire format of the show, which is why I think people really appreciate it, is you have someone that they can relate to like me who's watching a tour event every week and who's watching a guy hit a shot a certain way or use a certain club or do something around the green or with their putting approach. And then we hit record and start doing the show. And I just get to say, Smiley, this last week's a great example. And he did a great segment with Blaze Brown's coach, Justin Parsons, on Happy Hour.
Yeah.
It's like, Smiley,
great job.
Blaze Brown's got this super unique move. Like, he's got this, like, Bryson DeChambeau sort of, you know, arm width thing going on in the takeaway, and then he kind of breaks it through and he chicken wings it like Jordan Spieth. You know, what is he doing there from a technical perspective that allows him to still generate the ball speed that he needs to compete in the PGA Tour at 18 years old? Like, you know, just explain that to me. And I think learning stuff like that, or, you know, sitting in on an interview, Ludvig Åberg talking about, you know, things that for many amateurs would feel counterintuitive. Like Ludvig talking about, for me to hit a cut, I have to play with a closed face, right? If someone's sitting home, they're like, what? Like, closed face, like that ball's going left, right? It's like, no. Like, what that does is it frees him up to really, and this kind of gets into some of the stuff that we're working on, is like really be aggressive with that pelvis turn, really get through the ball. If he's playing with an open face, which most amateurs would, you know, try to do to hit a cut, you get that high, weak, spinny ball, doesn't you know, cut through the wind very well. But if you have a closed face, you can kind of commit to the move you need to do to hit a cut. And obviously my level, again, is my level of understanding is still below what yours is and what Smiley's is. But just hearing these guys talk about the way they think about the game, I mean, when we had Victor Hovland on and he was coming off of, like, you know, winning the Tour Championship, playing at the Ryder Cup, working with Joe Mayo on short game and talking about, you know, different types of shots he was hitting there. And then Jason Duffner came on and had a very different line of thinking about how to, you know, playing with the weak grip in the short game. Every guy that sits in front of that camera, for the most part, talks about a part of the game where you just sit there and you soak it in. And you may go try it on the range, it doesn't actually work, but it just fascinates me to hear the elite player talk about the way they think about the game, they think about the technical side. And embedded in all that is things you can learn mentally. Like this episode we're about to drop this week, you know, I guess not knowing when this is going to drop, but Wednesday the 28th with Cam Young, where he's just talking about the mental side and being process focused and how he admires Scottie Scheffler for being the best at that. I mean, that stuff is, I don't care if you're a 15 handicap or you're a plus five, you can use any of that to make yourself better at the game of golf. I love that part of the show.
Agree 1,000%. And when I listened to you talk about those observations, the one thing that popped into my mind was that, like, all of those players are great at what they do, right? And they found, but they all do something different, right? And I think that's the art of learning to play, and the art of coaching is, like, not everybody can do the same thing, right? And you know, you look at the way Victor pitches with the Mayo stuff, and you look at Duffner, and you look at, you know, what short game Chef is teaching out there, right? And it's not just short game, it's all the way through the bag. Like, there's a lot of different ways to do it. And then when you go to, you'll like this guy. I sat in a coffee shop out in Palm Springs with Bill Harmon and Jackson Court, Bill Butch's brother. And Billy's one of the great teachers in the game, and he's a character. Billy's so awesome. And it was ironic because, I mean, we didn't know Blades was going to play this great at this time, but we were just talking in general. And he said, I'm paraphrasing, but his dad always said, like, if you've got a really good player, instead of changing something, why don't you figure out why it works, why they're good, right? And I think that that's, you know, even with a player like you, it's like, okay, we know there's some things to improve on, but we don't just change everything because you're already a pretty damn good player, right? What do we got to do to narrow it? And I think that's important when working with people, and especially people like you. There's this, every passionate person that's a single-digit handicap, everybody thinks they can come in. Like, let's figure out what you do good. Yeah. Let's improve some pieces. We shouldn't make you worse during a damn lesson.
Well, and you know what's so interesting about that, too, is because I think that there are two levels of what we're talking about here, right? And I love that you talked about, you know, Billy Harmon, of course, by extension of that, Butch. And, you know, that was one of the fortunate aspects of my life in golf is that Butch is a dear friend of my grandfather. So I've got somewhere in this office over here, I've got little binders of, you know, 11-year-old Charlie at the Butch Harmon School of Golf getting your swing side by side with Prime
Tiger.
Cool
place to be.
Oh, cool. Such a cool place to be. We actually went back, golly, I guess this was two winters ago now, and spending time with Butch, and you know this better than me. I mean, he does this with every one of his tour pros. It's like it's not like he believes in one swing. It's not like he's going to have guys come in and I'm just going to teach you one thing. It's like he finds the thing that that guy does well, and he helps them build confidence around that piece of the swing. And you know, and even down to like my level, he's looking at what I'm doing. It's like there's a lot of things technically I could probably clean up. But he's finding a thing that he really likes about whether it's my setup or the way I kind of, you know, get through the ball, whatever it is. He's like, you do that really well. Let's focus on that thing. Now, I think there's an interesting separation here as well, where you're talking to, you're teaching a lot of tour pros, but you're also teaching guys like me who have a 3-year-old to 1-year-old kid at home, which translates to not a ton of time to practice. You know, like this last week, especially in the snow, it's like if I can get 15 minutes to hit balls in the net in the garage, that's a huge win, right? So that's the same sort of thing you're talking about of like, if you're going to bring me to a lesson, you know, if there are some coaches would say you need to change all these different positions and do all this stuff differently. It's like, where am I going to find the time to overhaul my swing and grind on that every day and get to a place where it feels comfortable and also do the thing that I probably want to do to get the most fulfillment out of the game, which is like getting out there and playing with my buddies and enjoying that piece of it. Right. So the simplicity of what you and I worked on, It is so helpful to me, and it's so repeatable. And it's like, you know, I just was up here this morning with the little wall anchor here doing my little work with the bands, kind of going back and forward, working on my range. Because that's something
you pivot pack. Everybody should have a pivot pack.
It's so good. And you could be in the airport, like just waiting for your flight and just thinking about the way you want to transfer your weight kind of, you know, back and through. Like those sorts of things are just very, very simple things. And it, you know, honestly connects back to some of the stuff of like talking about Ludwig and Blades. It's like, what do they do well? Like, they're not doing all this crazy stuff trying to manipulate the face and this and that. It's like they're really trying to make a really good drive and turn through the ball using the pelvis, really kind of pivoting well. And everything else kind of falls into place. Like, I know they're doing more than that at a tour pro level, but the simplicity for someone like me, it really boils down to doing that well. And for the most part, I'm going to play decent golf.
Correct. And I think that's the key. I mean, I think my job with every player, every student, regardless of ability, is to help identify the one, two, or three things that you need to do to play better. And what I thought we did a good job last time was helping you understand not only what you're working on, but understand why you're working on it. And then I think the one piece that gets away from people sometimes is how to monitor, right? And that's where some of the stuff we talked about off the air. Like, with the technology that's out there, it's so much easier than, like, when I was a college kid trying to figure out how to play or when you were growing up. Like, so you've got these launch pros. You've got these, you know, you've got these quads. Like, you've got apps on these phones. Like, there's ways to learn to monitor it so you get more out of it. Right. And I think that, like, I think every person that's like you really wanting to get better, like, go figure out what's the one, or don't try to do 10 things.
That's right.
Figure out the one thing that causes the most shit to happen. Understand what it's causing, how to work on it, and how to monitor it, and stay on it till you fix it.
I'm going to stay on your ass till you fix that pivot.
We're not going to rest.
To your point, though. Like, you know, the sports box is one that, like, we kind of got put on through when Max Grazerman came on the show and all that stuff. And these are all fantastic apps and tools and things that, you know, I'm started delving into understanding how to use it and how to kind of monitor my things. But even the simplicity of like you and I, we were talking about where, you know, I would kind of do this sort of reverse pivot thing and just as simple as having a mirror right. looking on a camera where you're just taking a video in your garage, you're drawing a line. It's like, we need to turn on this side to get the weight this way instead of turning back this way. Cause then you're going right. to flip up underneath it instead of really driving through
If you're a reverse pivoter, the best thing you can do is get in a mirror and just put a dot yep. on your head or on your, like right there on your spine and just turn and make pivots. So you go to that side of it. It's that simple, really, like, right. And learn yep. the motion. And I think people can do this. Like, you know, one of the things I know we did with the bands, Charlie, was it creates mm-hmm. a feel. It creates a sensation. And then like, to me, that's more effective than just going wearing out a bunch of balls. And then you go hit some balls in your net in the garage, and you hit 20 balls trying to make it feel that way, and you got a chance to get better. And then you film it, and you say, hey, does it look more that way than it did yesterday? Am I going the right direction?
Yeah. That's just been since I left you. Got a pitching wedge and a 7-iron down here while it's frigid, you know, where we've got snow on the ground here in North Carolina. And just, mm-hmm. you know, every day, every other day, it's just, yeah, can I get 15 minutes to do that, shoot a video of it, and just kind of get in the right direction? Because it is funny. It's like it's not some huge change, but it's just this habit. And for me, I think it was this deep-seated fear of sway, you know, of just like the ways in which that yeah. would result in bad strikes, even the dreaded S words from time to time, you know. What happened is I got so afraid of that I almost kind of lost sight of, again, what do all these elite players do? They do kind of move. They're not just completely stationary. Like, they're moving back this way. And then, on the downswing, getting through the ball, like Rory McIlroy, Scottie Scheffler, you measure all these guys, there is like a move forward, right? But it's not a slide. Yeah. It's a rotation, right? And so, like, that for me was really for you helping me kind of both explain that to me and then feeling it through these drills with these bands and then taking mm-hmm. video of it and saying, okay, that feels weird to me, but I know that's right because Tony told me it's right. So just keep doing this, keep working on this until it feels comfortable. And by golly, you're a month in, it's like, oh, wow, like I'm having more consistent strikes. I'm hitting the ball in generally the direction I'm trying to hit the ball. Like, this is playing better golf, you know, and that's a great place to be.
Yeah, and I think, you know, so many folks like you, you know, look, people, if you stand on that tee long enough, you see people that come to you and they have really good ideas about stuff that they're trying to do. And they're trying to avoid doing something. And sometimes by trying to avoid doing something, mm-hmm. it makes them do it incorrectly. Right. And I think that's just such a, you know, again, I think one of the really overlooked things in teaching is taking the time to sit a person down and explain what happened, why it's happening. And like, it may seem super simple, or it may seem like, oh, he probably already knows that, right? That's the guy's got to know that. Well, sometimes they don't, right? Or sometimes the notion's misconceived, you know? I can't tell you how many times, like, I've watched younger teachers and they skip over the whole, how you hit it solid, mm-hmm. right? And they just assume people know that the low point's in front of the ball. And, you know, then you ask them and you'll say, oh, well, I didn't know that, right? Like, you know, it helps to understand what the hell you're trying to do.
100%. And I also think, too, that there are a lot of different ways to communicate mm-hmm. the thing you're trying to get your student to do. And it may be that saying it the way A, B, and C doesn't register with that student's brain, and then you get to D and it's like a light bulb goes on. And that's been for me for a long time. Yeah. So you hear people explain, and that's, to me, is maybe the most important part of, you know, a teacher working with me, is that trying to, I understand conceptually what they're trying to solve for, even if I don't understand what they're trying to give me in that moment. And then just the willingness to keep trying, or try this thought, or think about it this way. And then it maybe takes three or four times, like, oh, now I get it. Like, that is, I think, a hallmark of great teaching is just you know how to, and Butch is fantastic at this. Like, you know how to solve for it.
Amazing.
You know how to solve for it, but you might have to, you know, for one student, it's you say it this way. For another, you say it this way. It's like, how can I just keep trying things to connect with their brain until we get to the one that makes them swing it the way I want them to swing it?
Right. And again, like, from my perspective and what I do in the golf studio is, like, I have, you know, I use a lot of bands and different things I've learned from Colby and all that. One time we got to do one of your lessons and one of Smiley's lessons on video with Colby with us.
Yeah.
And with Greg, the mental coach sitting in the background. I mean, he'll have a field day with you, but we'll have fun. But again, like, you have to have different ways to reach people. The bands work great for some people. Some people it doesn't do any good with. You got to get real visual, right? I gave a lesson to a lady this morning, and I've given her a lesson before, and, like, the band didn't work as much as me just turning her and pushing her where she needed to go, right? And she's, oh, wow, I got to get this much, right? And again, I think, like, and I know in this day and age, everybody's scared to, like, you can't put your hands on somebody and moving them. Yeah. It's still really damn good, right? Really works. Really
you did
works.
It to me. Like,
you don't
like,
want to be my lawyer. Maybe you do want to be my lawyer.
Yeah, it depends on what side of that case you're arguing. But, you know, it's funny because I think about that a lot, too. It's like, you know, what day and age are we in with some of this stuff touching people? But it's like, dude, I don't care what you think of it. When you put your hand on my hips and you push that right side through, that is the best way for me to feel what I need to feel moving off that right foot and following through on the ball in the right way. Like, that's the way I get the correct feel. And then all of a sudden I can replicate that. So I think it's
right.
That part of it's so interesting, even if you pick up a lawsuit or two along the way. So,
well, I mean, it's all for good content.
That's right. That's right.
I think next time, if I get asked back, I think we've gone from my early years. Maybe we should go through each one of my marriages.
That
we could tie some instruction to each.
Yeah, it's a different type of instruction. That's a different type of instruction. That's like bonus
that's
content.
Where the mental coach comes in.
That's exactly right.
That ought to be if you subscribe to the Smiley Show Plus, where you get
that's
the paid
right.
content. That's exactly it. Charlie, this has been awesome. One, thanks for all your support of what we do. You guys, you and Smiley have been great to me and us. But second of all, man, I've had a blast coaching you. We're going to do it again. I know we'll see you Cognizant Week down here. I'm sure we'll sneak something in. Wouldn't be right if we didn't. And it was fun hanging out at the PGA Show. We got a lot of cool stuff. We're going to do some stuff good for the Good Tricks on people this year. We're going to have some fun.
I am so thrilled, Tony. As a demo day, just absolutely crushing that driver on that 3-plus wood. I cannot wait to get my hands on those Strixon clubs, and I know you're going to get me dialed in once I get them.
Smiley and I both texted when I said I was going to meet you. You were made for demo day in the PGA Show. There's nobody. I saw you running from booth to booth. You looked like John Belushi in Animal House. You know where he's running like this?
Yeah.
That's what you looked like. You did.
Buddy.
You looked like Blue Tarski running from booth to booth with your backpack. It was amazing.
Nobody has ever been happier on a tee in 40-degree weather with 30-mile-per-hour gusts than I was at the Strixon booth on demo day. Man, that was I was a pig in mud.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And, hey, when you're down here, don't forget, we'll have a little staycay. Charlie, thanks again for all the support. Let's keep grinding on that golf swing. Look forward to we'll see you soon, buddy.
Love it. Appreciate you, T.